Today's daf is Ksubas daf Nun Zayin. We are holding on the bottom of daf Nun Vav Amud Beis. What we're going to discuss today, first of all, is if a woman does not have a ksuba, loses her ksuba, so what is the halacha? Can the couple stay together if the woman loses her ksuba? We're then going to mention a machlokas about whether a woman is considered to be mochelas ksuba in certain situations, and it's going to be a machlokas amarayim about what Tanaim said, a machlokas amarayim about what the Amarayim said, and the way it's all going to play out is the Gemara is going to say that we always prefer to have a machlokas in halacha rather than having a machlokas about what somebody said. There's a big yesod. This ksubas nun zayin is one of the more important makoros in the sugya of elu ve'elu divrei elokim chayim, where you can only say elu ve'elu divrei elokim chayim when you have machlokas in halacha, not when you have machlokas about what somebody said. Then the Mishnah is going to discuss at what point a besula is, or at what point a woman is expected to ready. How much time we give a woman to prepare for nisuin, and at what point she can eat truma if nisuin has not yet happened. At what point do we say that she's been waiting long enough, and if she's if the husband's going to be a kohen, that she could have truma? The Gemara on Amud Beis is going to talk about the source for the idea of a 12-month period of preparation that a woman has between Erisin and Nisun. That's what we always assume, that between Erisin and Nisun there's 12 months. Where does that come from? Where does the number 12 months come from? And then we're going to talk about whether a Bogeres gets the same 12 months, or is that only for a Na'ara? And then at the end of the daf, we're going to get into the reasons that the Rabbanim were Mesakein, that while a girl is still in Arusa, she doesn't eat Truma. On a Daraisa level, as soon as you have Erisin with a Kohen, she should eat Truma. Why did the Rabbanim undo that din? Why were they misakein not to have her eat truma? But before we get to any of that, we mentioned yesterday we were discussing the issue whether ksuba derabbanan or ksuba d'oraisa, whether there could be a tenai on the she'er, ksus, va'onan, some of the basic chiyuvim of marriage. So Peres mentioning, I just wanted to mention, the Rambam writes in the Minyan HaMitzvos, in the beginning of Hilchos Ishus, that the mitzvah to the mitzvahs included in Hilchos Ishus are lisa isha b'ksuba u'b'kiddushin, is to get married with ksuba and with kiddushin. And all of the achronim ask that la'alach we paskin ksubas lavda oraisa, we paskin ksubas derabanan. So how could it be that the mitzvah saseda oraisa is lisa isha b'ksuba v'kiddushin, that it's part of the definition of mitzvah saseda oraisa? So Rav Shechter writes in Mipnine Harav, page Ayin Reish, in the name of Rav Salvechik, that what the Rambam means is that when he talks about ksuba v'kiddushin, he doesn't mean the ksuba document as we have it. He means the shibude ksuba, the chiyuvim of sher, ksus, va'ona, that even though the Rambam paskins that masal mashkas v'torah b'davar sheb mamon tano kayyum, a person can make a tanai on a davar sheb mamon, and the tanai is binding, even if that davar sheb mamon is a chiyuv min haTorah, and memela, if a guy is mekadesh a woman, al menas that there should be no chiyuv of sher or ksus, and we discussed yesterday potentially ona as well, then she's mekudeshes, so the shibudim won't exist. But nevertheless, he's not mekayim the mitzvah of daraisa of being mekadesh anisha. Of an unbelievable idea of Salvechik has, that one can do a kiddushin and be married without being mekayim the mitzvah of kiddushin. The mitzvah of getting married is to be mekadesh isha b'ksuba, is to be nosi isha b'ksuba the kiddushin. Ksuba means the shibud ksuba. You can get married without the shibud ksuba, but then you're not doing the mitzvah of getting married. So ksuba v'kiddushin is with all the shibud ishos. And he says, based on that, you can explain the Gemara in Sanhedrin Chaf Aleph, where the Gemara says that what's the difference between a wife and a pilagesh lahalacha? What way are they different? So nashim are biksuba ubikidushin. Pilag shimar below ksuba ubelok kiddushin. So the Ramban al Torah in Parshas Chayesara quotes Girsas Rashi in that Gemara that the difference between Nashim and Pilakshim is that Nashim are b'ksuba, Pilakshim are below ksuba, and that's it. That's the whole difference. That women have wives have a ksuba, Pilakshim don't have a ksuba. So Ramban says, how could that be the difference between an isha and a pilagesh? The difference between an isha and a pilagesh is a doraisa difference. Ksuba is a takana drabanan. So how could it be that the difference between an isha and a pilagesh, which are two different different statuses on a daraisa level, two different relationships on a daraisa level, is defined by a din derabanan from Ban's Kasha on Rashi. But based on the Mahalich of Rav Soloveitchik, it could be that Pilagesh, the geder of a Pilagesh, is Ishus without the Shibude Habal Ishto, without all of the responsibilities that a husband has towards his wife, towards Sher, Ksos, Va'ona, without the Shibudim. Pilagesh is, Isha rather, is a marriage with the Shibudim. Ksuba doesn't mean the Masayim Zuz, doesn't mean the Mana Masayim of an Alman or a Besula. It means the Shibudim. That could be what the Rama means in that situation. That could be what Rashi means when he describes the difference between Pilagesh and Isha. So we are holding right now the last line of the page on Daf Nun Vav Amud Beis. Says Mar Achte de Rami Bar Chama have an Asivil Rav Avia. Rami Bar Chama's sister was married to Rav Avia. Irkas Ksubasa, and she lost her Ksuba. Happens once in a while. Someone loses their Ksuba. I once had an issue with spelling the name of a certain city, or figuring out what city to write on the Ksuba when a person got married in a certain wedding hall. So I had a friend who got married there, so I called him up and I said, how do you spell this? Check your Ksuba for me. Tell me how your Rabbi Berkowitz was in Masada Kiddush, and I trusted. So tell me how he spelled it. So he said, I'll call you right back. And he didn't call me right back. Calling back like 2 hours later, I can't find my ksuba. It happens once in a while. You can't find a person can't find their ksuba. They lose their ksuba. So what do you do? Can they stay married? Can you without a new one? Can you, how quickly do you have to resolve that problem? Also, the Kamei de Rav Yosef, they came to Rav Yosef. Amalu Hachi Amar Vidom Shmuel Zudiv Rameir Avcham Ramasha Adamis Ishto Shtai Mishaloshan Belok Suba. The Rameir said that Kolapoch Subasulim Masayim VaAlmana Mimana that it's Bilas Nus and that you can't stay together at all. That's Shitas Rameir. But the Chum disagree. The Chum say you can stay together 2-3 years. It's not a problem without the Ksuba. So which is it? 2 years or 3 years? How long can you stay together without a Ksuba? So Tosfos writes, Ein l'takte kan hashta shalosh muter shtayim mibayi. The Gemara is not going to ask over here, well, if you're allowed to stay together 3 years, and obviously you're allowed to stay together 2 years, says that sometimes when we give numbers, we just mean that an extended period of time, 2, 3, 4 years, it means that eventually you should take care of it. You shouldn't forget about it entirely. You should eventually write in the ksuba, but there is no time limit. There is no set amount of time by which you have to take care of writing the nuksuba. That's the sheet of the Rabbanan. Whenever you get to it, you get to it. So says the Gemara, but don't we say that we paskin like Rav Meir big zerosav? So shouldn't we paskin like Rav Meir over here? Isn't this a gzera of Rav Meir that if someone is mashes ishto below ksuba, that it's considered to be bilas nus? So it says, yeah, you're right. Ihachi zil kasavla. If that's right, then you should really go write her new ksuba immediately, and you shouldn't wait at all. And that's what we generally do. We paskin that a person without a ksuba should not be together, they should write the ksuba right away, even though there is a shitas harama that we try not to be samichan, but the Rama holds that the whole idea of that you need a ksuba is because why is it that there were masakin ksuba in the first place? Masakin ksuba shlote kala be'in of lotzia, that it shouldn't be easy for a man to divorce his wife because if there's no financial cost to getting divorced, then a person can do it very easily, a person can do it very, very, very flippantly. So we want someone to have to think about it before getting divorced. So says the Rama, that was all before the days of Rabbeinu Gershom. But then Rabbeinu Gershom came along and he imposed what's known as the Cherim de Rabbeinu Gershom. He imposed a whole series of Charamim, a whole series of different Dinim. And one of the things of Cherim de Rabbeinu Gershom is that one is not allowed to be Megarish Shishto Bal Karcha. You can't be Megarish a wife against her will anyway. So there's no concern that a person is going to be Megarish his wife without thinking, because he can't. He's not allowed to. He needs her to consent to the Gerishin. And therefore the whole need for the Ksuba Shlote Kalabin of Lotzia is not nearly as strong anymore. So that's what the Rama writes, that nowadays it's not so important that we have the Ksuba. We generally are not somich on that Rama. We do not assume like that Rama. We do think it's important when people find a psul in their Ksuba, we try to fix it right away. When people lose their Ksuba, we write a Ksuba de Irkisa. That's what it's called, the Ksuba de Irkisa. If someone loses the Ksuba, there's machloks Rishonim about a Ksuba de Irkisa, what the date on the Ksuba de Irkisa should be. If you're writing a new Ksuba to replace a lost ksuba, the Bali Itur and the Mi'iri say that you only write from the date of today when you're writing the new ksuba, because you don't want it to be Torif Lekuchos Shalokadin, meaning the Shibur of this star should begin right now. It shouldn't go back to some earlier date, and if there's anything that he sold in between, she should not be able to collect from the Nechasim Shabbatim. However, others, Meiri quotes, other Yeshomrim, that we write from the Zman Rishon, from the original Zman of the Ksuba, because everyone knows that that she's his wife and they've been married since the Zman Rishon. So it's not like a Shtar Chov where there's a Chashash Piraon that maybe in between the guy was paid off. Or whatever. No, there's no such concern by a Ksuba. We know when they got married, and that's when the Shibudim should really begin. The Meiri says that he doesn't understand the Yeshomrim, though, because if you say that you write Mizman Rishon, because there's no Chashash Piron. What do you mean there's no Chashash Piron? We had the Chashash Dilma Atfasa Tzrari. Maybe he gave her some metaltalin or something to pay off her Ksuba. Sure, we have a Chashash Piron by Ksuba as well. The Gemara says in Bab Metzia Dav Zayin, a Motzi Shtar Ksuba, even if the Baal is Moda, if you find the Shtar Ksuba on the street, even if the husband says, yeah, that's my Ksuba, and I owe my wife the Ksuba, and I never paid it to her, Lo Yachz Elisha, you still can't give it back to the woman, because we're afraid that it feasts Tzrari or Machluk Subasa, and now they're doing some sort of kanunya, they're doing some sort of trick to be able to take property away from people that he has sold his property to. So the Bali Iter is Machriya that if the Edim know the Zman of the original Ksuba, they should write from the Zman Rishon. But if they don't write, they don't know the Zman of the original Ksuba, then they write the Zman Sheni. We write both. We write exactly what it is in the Ksuba Dirksa. We say, we are Omid Po Hayom, and we give the date of where we are, when we are, when we're writing the Ksuba, and we testify that that this is to replace the Ksuba that was written on such and such date in such and such place, and we go through the whole thing. That's what we write by Ksuba Dishtakach Batu Usa as well. When you find a mistake in the Ksuba, it's a little bit of a different Nusach than a Ksuba Dirksa. Ksuba Dirksa means you lost the Ksuba. Ksuba Dishtakach Batu Usa, which I've had occasion to do a few times, is when you find a mistake in the ksuba, where there's an error in the ksuba. I got a call from somewhere in Canada once, that a guy called me and he was listening to some shiur I gave online about ksuba, and he told me that one of the edim on his ksuba was his wife's first cousin. And he thought that was okay because his Masada Kiddushin told him that it was okay. His Masada Kiddushin was wrong. It's Psul Daraisa. His wife's cousin is absolutely possible to be an aid on the Ksuba. So he had to do homeless. His bigger problem was an aid Kiddushin, was his wife's first cousin. That was a bigger problem. Mm-hmm. So he had to get him remarried also. He had to do a new Kiddushin as well. But after 11 years of marriage and however many children. You have to get him remarried also, not so simple. But okay, so that's the Machlokas Rishonim over here, what the date is on the Ksuba Dirksa, how we write exactly the date on Ksuba Dirksa. It's also interesting, we call it Halacha Krav Meir Big Zero Sub, that we say that this is an example of Pasnak Rav Meir Big Zero Sub. Is this really a Gezera of Rav Meir? Rashi writes that it's Halach Rav Meir anytime he's Machmir al Divrei Torah Big Zero Drabanan. That's how we define Gezero Sub, that it's a Gezera over here, because he's being Bedavershu Machmir al Dvar Torah Bi Isr Veheter Ali De Gezeras Divrayim. That's the definition of a Gezera. But the other Rishonim point out, the Ritva says that's not normally what Gezera means. Normally, gezeira is something that they make usher because of another din that you might come to violate. A gezeira is, don't do this, lest you come to violate that. That's not what's going on over here. This is stam, a chumrah, a knas, that without a ksuba, it's a bilas nus. But it's not lest you come to violate something. Normally, that's the way we would understand gzeira. That's how it sounds like in the Gemara in Yevamos and Daf Mem Beis and in Erev and Daf Mem Zayin, where it says that halach ramer b'gzeirosav. It sounds like we're talking about what we would normally refer to as a gzeira. So the Ritva writes that over here it's a little bit of a gzeira, because ramer is going Gozer, that when it's Tano Batel V'yeshla, because of a case of Tano Kayim V'einla, meaning that Remeir holds the Iker Iser is that they make Bilas or Bilas Nus if it were to be a case of Tano Kayim, meaning we're talking about being Masna on the Ksuba to make a Tanai that the Ksuba should be less than Masayim. So that's the Gzeira to a case where the Tanai would work. So that's maybe how it's a little bit of a gzeira. Weiter in the Gemara now. So where are we? Kiyasa Rav Dimi, 3 lines before they get wide. Machlokas betchila, avul b'sof divrei akol ena mochalas. So what machlokas? What are we talking about over here? So Rashi says that when we say machlokas over here, we're not going on the machlokas from Meir and Lacham that we were just talking about of being without a ksuba. No, we're going back to the machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, where Rabbi Yehuda says that al peh lav tanahu, and Rabbi Yossi holds tanahu kayim, that if you make a verbal tanai, Rabbi Yehuda says it's not a valid tanai, and Rabbi Yossi says that it is a valid tanai. So we're saying that machlokas comes along Rav Dimi, and he says Rav Dimi from Eretz Yisrael came to Bavel and says that in the name of Rav Shimon Paz, Yom Rav Shimon Levi, Mishum Bar Kapara, that machlokas Rav Yehuda and Rav Yossi is only when she says that she was machalas bitchila. But if she says she's machalas besof, then everyone would agree that she's not machalas because she was already zocha in the ksuba, and to say at the end that she's machalas is worthless. Rav Yochanan Amar Bein Bezubim is a machlokas. Rav Yochanan will say whether she was machal bitchila, whether she's machal b'sof, there is a machlokas. What does that mean, b'tchila b'sof? So the Gemara explains. Amar Rabbi Avos. Rabbi Avos explains that Rabbi Shimon Levi and Rabbi Yochanan only argue that didim farsh liminate Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan explained that Anav Rabbi Shimon Levi, that I, Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Shimon Levi, who are both quoted by Rav Dimi, lo palgina na adadi, are not arguing on each other. Rather, my bitchila, what do we mean when we say my bitchila to come Rabbi Shimon Levi? What does Rabbi Shimon Levi mean when he says the word bitchila, that it's only bitchila that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi are arguing? Tchilas chuppah. That's at the beginning of Nisuin, which is at the chuppah. That's where Rabbi Yossi holds that the Tanai is kayim, even if it's bal peh. Umay sof, and what does he mean sof when Rabbi Shimon Levi says that besof everyone agrees she's mochalas? That's sof bia. That means after the bia, which is the end of the nisuin. So it turns out that Rabbi Shimon Levi means to say that from the beginning of chuppah until the end of chuppah, that's all called tchila. That's where you have machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. But once he's been boel her, that's already sof, and then even Rabbi Yossi would be moda that any verbal tanai is totally invalid. But what I, Rabbi Yochanan, say, bein bezu, machlokas, when I said that there's a machlokas, both betchila and basof, what I meant is, tchilas chuppa v'sof chuppa, di tchilas bia. I meant both by the word tchila and by the word sof, all before there ever was a bia. So my definition of sof is what his definition of tchila was. And that's why we're not really arguing at all. So Gemara brings a different gears to this whole conversation. Kiyasa Ravin, when Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Amr Bishum Ben Pazi, Amr Bishum Ben Levi, Mishum Bar Kapara, Machlokas, that Rabbi Shimon Levi said the Machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi is only Lebasof, is only if she's Mochelas at the end. Aval, but if she says that she's mochelas b'tchila, divrei akol mochelas. Everyone would agree that it's a valid mechila. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan says whether it's beginning or end, it would still be a machlokas. Amar Rabbi Avo, Rabbi Avo comments that this machlokas, Rabbi Shimon Levi and Rabbi Yochanan, lididi mefarshili mined Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan explained it to me that Nov Rabbi Shimon Levi lo palgidin adadi, that I and Rabbi Shimon Levi do not disagree with each other. Ma'il b'sof tam Rabbi Shimon Levi. What is the Sof that Rabbi Shimon Levi says sof chuppah, it means the end of chuppah, umay tchila, meaning it means the end of the kinyan before the bia, umay tchila, and what is the tchila? Tchilas chuppah, it means before the chuppah, and then everyone would agree that the tanai is kayim, that she's mochelas, because there was no nisuin at all yet. V'chika amina ana, and when I said bein bezu machlokas, that the machlokas is both in tchila and sof, I meant tchilas bia v'sof bia. I meant tchilas bia, meaning right before the bia, after the chuppah, where there already is nisuin. So according to Rabbi Shimon Levi, both according to Rabbi Shimon Levi and according to me, says Rabbi Yochanan, there's no machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi except for sof chuppah, which is tchilas bia and sof bia. But betchilas chuppah, everyone would agree that she is mochelas. So Amar Rav Papa, he loves Amar Rabbi Avo. Had Rabbi Avo not said l'didim mefarshel mined Rabbi Yochanan, that Rabbi Yochanan had explained to him that Nov Rabbi Shimon Levi lo palgin adadi, that he and Rabbi Shimon Levi are in agreement with each other, hava amina I would have thought to say the opposite, that it's more mistaver that Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shub and Levi pligi, that there is a machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shub and Levi, that they argue about the situations in which Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda would disagree, and Ravdimi v'Ravin, but Ravdimi and Ravin, who each say a different lashon in the machlokas Rabbi Shub and Levi and Rabbi Yochanan, lo pligi, that Ravdimi and Ravin, the later generation of Amorayim, are actually not arguing. Umay sof dekama Ravin, sof chuppa. And when Ravin says sof, in the name of Rabbi Shimon Levi, that it's only in the case of sof that Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda disagree, that means sof chuppa, which is tchilas bia. Umay tchila dekama Ravdimi, and when Ravdimi says tchila, in the name of Rabbi Shimon Levi, that Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda only argue in tchila, that's tchilas bia. But besof, which is sof bia, even Rabbi Yossi would be moda that she can't be mochel, and Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with Rabbi Shlomo Levi and says bein b'tchila bein besof bia. There's a machlokas Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. Maika mashmalan, what's Rav Papa coming to teach me when he says, had it not been for Rabbi Avo telling me otherwise, I would have thought that the machlokas would have been not between Rav Dimi and Ravin, but would have been between Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi and Rabbi Yochanan. Who cares where the machlokas was? What's the chiddush? Hakamashmalan. What he's telling me is as follows: that he's telling me a very important nekuda in terms of machlokos and shas. Is hakamashmalan the pligi trei amoray at time of the nafshayu v'lo pligi trei amoray aliba dechad amora? That it's more likely that you'll have a machlokas amorayim with using their own svaras, where each one is saying their own svara, rather than a machlokas amoraim, what earlier amoraim said. So just to be clear over here, what happened over here is that there are three levels of machlokas over here. There's a machlokas tanoim between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. Then there's a machlokas amoraim, earlier amoraim, Rabbi Shoban Levi and Rabbi Yochanan. And then there's on how to understand that machlokas tanoim. Then there's a next generation of amoraim, a machlokas between Ravin and Rabbi Avo, of how to understand the earlier generation of amoraim. So if we want to say that anybody is arguing, meaning on one of these levels, we could take away a machlokas. We could say, no, they're not really arguing, they're really saying the same thing, just using different terminology. We could either take it away on level 2 or take it away on level 3. So what we're saying is, had it not been for us being informed that level 2 is where there is no machlokas, but on level 3 there is a machlokas, we would have preferred to say that on level 3 there's no machlokas, and level 2 there is a machlokas. Why would we prefer to say that on level 3 there's no machlokas? Because what the level 3, what that final generation is arguing about, is simply what earlier Amoraim said. And we really prefer not to have a machlokas about Metzius. Did he say this? Did he say that? That's a machlokas where, as Rashi points out over here, a long Rashi, uncharacteristically long Rashi, but essentially what he says over here is that you can't say about such a machlokas, elu ve'elu divrei elokim chayim, because the person didn't say both things. They said either A or they said B. So they can't both be right. And when we have a machlokas amoraim, we'd much prefer to be able to say, elu ve'elu divrei elokim chayim. If they're arguing in svara, so then you can say, elu ve'elu divrei elokim chayim. They're both right from a certain perspective. But when they're arguing on facts, they're arguing on what did this person say, then you're not going to be able to say El Vel Divrel Kim Chaim. Frecht Tosos, wait a second, you're not going to be able to say El Vel Divrel Kim Chaim anyway, because after all, the Machloka, even if the Machlokas is on the second level of Amoraim, that they're arguing about what the Tanaim said, aren't they? Isn't that how Machlokas Amoraim works? They're arguing about what the Shitos in the Tanaim are. So Tosos understands, what seems like from Tosos at least, that when Amoraim argued about what Tanaim said, they didn't hear from Tanaim one way or the other. They're using Svara to interpret Tanaim. There's a difference between Machlokas about how to interpret Shitos of Tanaim versus we both heard him speak, I thought I heard one thing, you thought you heard something else, what did you hear? That's just a Machlokas of Metzius, but a Machlokas of an interpretation of Tanaim, that you can say L'Veil Divar L'Kim Chaim, because there's Svara involved in that Machlokas. As long as there's Svara involved in the Machlokas, then you could say both sides have a certain amount of, it's possible that both sides are correct. But if there's no svara it's just simply, what did he say? Did he say this? Did he say that? Then you're not going to be able to say, El Vel Devel Kim Chaim. So that's a very important nekuda I'm learning, that whenever we have machlokas, if it seems like a machlokas of Metzias, we should always try to interpret it in a way that it's not a machlokas of Metzias, if at all possible. Rabbi Simon used to tell us, in the name of Rav Willig, in the name of Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, in the name of his father, in the name of his grandfather, all the way back to Rav Chaim, that whenever you have any machlokas in Metzius, you can always interpret it as a machlokas in halacha. He thought there was no machlokas in Shas that you couldn't say is a machlokas in halacha, even if it's if it sounds like a machlokas in Metzius, he thought it could always be reinterpreted. Okay, new Mishnah. From the time the husband says that he wants to marry her, so we give her 12 months to prepare for the chuppah. She gets 12 months to get all of her tachshitim in order and everything she needs in order to prepare for married life. She gets 12 months. And just like the woman gets 12 months, if the man is interested in having 12 months in order to prepare a proper wedding su'udah and whatever is going to be needed for the wedding, so he gets his 12 months as well. But when the girl is an almana, she doesn't need so much tachshitin, so then you only have 30 days. He gives man velonisu. What if that time arrives, the 12 months arrives, and they didn't yet get married, and the man is a kohen? He has to start supporting her, and she's allowed to start eating truma if he's a kohen. Rabbi Tarfon Omer, Nosan la hakol truma. Rabbi Tarfon says, not only can he start giving her truma here and there, he can give all of the mizonos can be truma. She's not going to be able to eat that 30 days a month. She's not going to be able to eat truma throughout the every single day, because she's going to be a nida at some times, and a person who's tame is not allowed to eat truma. So Rabbi Tarfon says, yeah, that's her problem. She'll have to sell whatever truma she has to kohanim and use that money to buy chulin. But if he wants to get rid of his truma, he can supply her, he can support her using exclusively truma food. Rabbi Kiva Omer, mefza chulin and mefza truma. Rabbi Kiva says, no, you can't do that to her. She's going to be tame a bunch of times. She's not going to be able to eat any of this food. That's too much to put on her plate to have to sell it. So no, you give her half chulin, half truma, and she'll be careful. She'll eat the truma in the times when she's tahara, and she'll eat the chulin in the times when she's tamea. Hayavam eno machil betruma. If you have a shomeres yavam, not after the yibum. If it's after the yibum and the guy's a kohen, that's a different. You have a shomeres yavam that they didn't yet do the yibum, even though the time is up where it's supposed to have been done, where she is supposed to have had nisuin with her original husband. She doesn't eat truma. If let's say she had Erisin and 6 months later the husband dies, and now she's been waiting for the Yavam for another 6 months, so now the 12 months are up, or even if the first husband died 11 months and 29 days after the Erisin, and now she's been a Shomeres Yavam for a day. The first husband died a day after the Erisin, and the whole rest of the year she's been a Shomeres Yavam. In either way, in any of these cases, Eina ochelas betruma, she cannot eat truma, because the yavam is not machil betruma. Shomeres yavam does not eat the truma of the yavam. Zu mishnah rishona. That is the opinion of the mishnah rishona. What's the opinion of mishnah rishona? Rashi points out, d'mishigias man ochelas betruma. This is not going back on the shomeres yavam situation. The mishnah rishona holds that if a woman is supposed to have nisuin 12 months after the erisin, when that date arrives, whether she has nisuin or not, whether they actually get married or not, she can start eating her husband's truma if her husband is a kohen. But Beis Din Shalachrayan Amru, a later Beis Din came along and said that's not the case, that Eina Isha Chalas B'Trumat Shetikarnis L'Chuppa, that a woman is not allowed to eat truma until she's Nichnas L'Chuppa, until she actually has Nisuin. So frankly, Gemara Minahani Mili, going back to the beginning of the Mishnah where we said that we give a girl 12 months, she gets a 12 month time period to prepare for her wedding. Where do we get that idea of 12 months? Where does that number come from? Amr of Chista Damakra, because the Pasuk says, Vayomer Achia Vi'ima, Teshe Vanara Itanu, Yamim O Asar. So what does that mean, Yamu, by Rivka? When Eliezer comes to get Rivka to find a wife for Yitzchak, and he finds Rivka, so Lavan and Basul say, let the Nara stay with us for Yamim O Asar. Don't take her back right away. Let her stay for Yamim O Asar. So my Yamim, what does Yamim mean in that context? If yami means what it sounds like, yom is day, yamim is multiple days, and the minimum of a plural is always two. So if it means 2 days, like yomayim, mishtayin, shiachi, is that really a normal way to conduct a negotiation? They want to keep her. Eliezer wants to take her back for Yitzchak right away as soon as possible. So Amalei, so they say to him, trei yomi, let her stay here for 2 days. Eliezer says, no, I need her sooner than that. So Amalei, lo, he says, no, no good. Amalei, they say, okay, so asara yomi, so let her stay here for 10 days. Is that the way to conduct a negotiation? That they keep going back in the other direction? That's not a normal negotiation. Elamaya, so yamim can't mean 2 days, because then it doesn't make any sense. Yamim has to be a number that's bigger than 10 days. It has to be that that was their original offer, was that we would like to keep her for some amount of time that's longer than 10 days. Eliezer scoffs at the offer. Then they say, okay, how about 10 days? So what could yamim mean? Elamaya yamim shana. So yamim must mean a year. If you want to know where else do we find in Tanakh that yam means a year, Pasuk says, yamim tiyagu ulaso. When it talks about selling batei arechoma, so it says that the gu'ula of batei arechoma is yamim. Batei arechoma have a unique status in halacha. The Chumash says, normally when you sell land in Eretz Yisrael, the halacha is that it goes back at Yovel, that whenever the Yovel year comes, the original owner gets it back. But when you sell batei arechoma, the halach is that for the first year you have the right to buy it back whenever you want. Whether the person you sold it to is interested or not interested, you could force him to sell it back to you at the price that you sold it to him. But after that, then it's forever. Then the sale is binding forever. So batei arechoma are a very significant thing. But how do we define that year? It's yamim tiya gula so. That gula could be for yamim. So you see that it means a year. Ve'ema chodesh t'chsivat chodesh yamim. But the word yamim is also used in the context of 1 month. It's also used in the Chumash to describe a month, not just to describe a year. So why don't we say that it means a chodesh based on that pasuk? How do we know it means a year? We know it doesn't mean 2 days. You know, of the three options, we know it doesn't mean 2 days, like we already said from the context of the pesukim. We know it doesn't mean but it could mean a year or it could mean a month. So why are we so sure that it means a year? So I'm done in yamim stam mi yamim stam. Because the word yamim appears without any qualifying word in the context of a year when it talks about the batei arechoma, but when it talks about a chodesh, it says chodesh yamim. So a regular yamim doesn't mean chodesh. Only if it says chodesh yamim, it means a chodesh. Eyes fractosus pasuk says vachsas aviyah vesima yerach yamim, and we darshin that yerach shloshim yamim shloshim. That yamim is an additional 30 days. Just the word yamim is an additional 30 days, and we don't darshin the word yamim to mean an additional 12 months. He says, yeah, but that's because the word right before it was yerach. Yerach means a month. So whenever in the context the word chodesh or yerach is right next to the word yamim, then that word yamim will mean a month. But otherwise, the word yamim stam is always going to mean 12 months. I'm Rabbi Zeira. Tana katana beini bein aviyah yichol ma'akev. Rabbi Zeira tells us that a katana or her father can be ma'akev, can delay the wedding. Bishlami ihi matzi ma'akev. I understand she can be ma'akev. Ela aviyah ihi nichala aviyah ma'inaf galemina. But if she's perfectly happy getting married, then why can her father have the right to delay it? So savar hashtal yada lemachar mimrida, because the father says, no, it does matter to me because I think she's not ready, and if she gets married now, she's not gonna like it. She's gonna be meredes al baila. He's gonna divorce her. Vinafka vasa vinafli levai. And guess where she comes back after that? Guess whose house she comes to live in after she gets divorced? She's right back in my house, and I have to support her again. So this matters to me. I want to make sure that she's right and she's ready. So it does matter to the father, and therefore the father does have the right to delay. We don't make arrangements for a katana to get her married when she's still a katana. That's considered to be a tirchum for her. But we do make arrangements to marry her off when she's a gedola. Pshita, of course, what's the chiddush? One might have thought that even making the arrangements when she's a katana is going to intimidate her and going to make her nervous, so kamash mlan, that we don't have any such worries. Amravuna. Bagra yomechad v'niskadcha nosna shloshim yom kalmana. If a girl is a bagra yomechad, she becomes a bogeres for one day, and then she has kiddushin, then she no longer gets the 12 months. When we said in our Mishnah, says Rav Huna, that a woman gets 12 months to prepare for her wedding, that's only talking about if she's a nara. If she's a bogeres, even for just one day, and then she becomes then she has kiddushin, she only gets 30 days like an almana to prepare for her wedding. Fractosos, then what was exactly was the case of our Mishnah? How long does Narus last? Narus only lasts 6 months. So when are you ever going to have a case where the girl gets 12 months? Meaning by a Nara, we said she would get 12 months, but after 6 months, she's ready to Bogeris, and Yom Echad, once you're Bogeris Yom Echad, you only get 30 days. So Tosfos says, no, what you have to say is that Bogar Yom Echad is only if it's after the Kiddushin happened already. If Kiddushin happened, and then she had the Kiddushin after she was Bogeris Yom Echad. If she has Kiddushin after she became a Bogeris, then we say she gets 30 days. But if the Kiddushin preceded her becoming a Bogeris, then she gets the full 12 months. So if she had Kiddushin as a Nara, she'll still get the first 12 months. So the Gemara challenges this. Meisve Bagra Rei Kitvua, Mailav Kitvua de Besula. We said a Bogeris is like someone who was already Tavali Nase, that he's already making a claim that he wants to get married. Doesn't that mean like a Besula? Lo, Kitvua de Almana. No, we treat it like Almana, where it's 30 days. Tashma another Raya. Bogeris Shasa Shneimasar Chodesh Rebelozer Omer Hol V'chayv Bala B'mezonoseha Yofer, that after 12 months a husband is chayv in the mezonos of his bogeris wife after 12 months, and that's why he can be made for her nedarim. So don't you see that it's 12 months even for a bogeris? Says Gemara, no, ema bogeris v'shashasa Shneimasar Chodesh. It's actually saying two different cases. It's saying either a bogeris or someone who's been waiting 12 months, the husband could be made for the nedarim. Rabbi Lazar Omer Hol Bala Chayv B'mezonos Yafer. That's where Rabbi Lazar says that since the husband is chayv in the mezonos, he could be made for the nedarim. Tashma, third raya, and this one's going to stick. Hama'ari says Abasula, Bein Shetava Abal Vihima Keves, Bein Shetava Hiu Bal Ma'akev, whoever's the one that's delaying, whether the husband's ready and she's the one Ma'akev, or she's ready and he's the one Ma'akev, Nosna Shnemos or Chodesh Mishas Tviya, Avalo Mishas Erisin. We give 12 months from the time that he's Toveya, that he wants to get married, not from the time of Erisin. Ubagra harehi kitvua, and having becoming a bogeris is like there's a tvia for the marriage. Ketzad bagra yomechad v'niskadcha. If you have bogeris yomechad and then there's kiddushin, so Rav Huna would say you give her only 30 days, right? But what does it say? Nosan la shneimasar chodesh. She gets a full 12 months. La arusa shloshim yom, and arusa would only get 30 days. Tiyufta, the Rav Huna, Tiyufta. So this is a Tiyufta on Rav Huna, because Rav Huna said that if Bagri Yom Echad V'kidsha, she gets 30 days. Here we're saying explicitly that she gets the full 12 months. It's a Tiyufta on Rav Huna. Fractosos, that it's over here, it sounds like we reject Rav Huna entirely, but in the Gemara Nedarim, the Fayinim Beis, the Stamada Shas assumes like Rav Huna, because it says over there that a Bogeris at Shasa Yud Beis Chodesh, that the Gemara says, Bogeris Belamid Yom Sagi, so the Gemara says, Eim Bogeris Visha Shasa, meaning it has that same Shakla Vitaria that we had earlier within Rav Huna, that you have to divide a Bogeris and a Shasa Shneimasar Chodesh is two different cases, because a Bogeris will never have to be Shoheh Shneimasar Chodesh. A Bogeris never actually has to wait the 12 months. So it's a little strange, Tos says, that our Gemara rejects Rav Huna entirely, not just with the single Tiyufta. Rashbam writes in Mabasa, whenever you have a double Tiyufta, it means we entirely reject it, and nevertheless, the Stamada Shas in Meseches Nedarim assumes that way. So Tosfos reinterprets the whole Stamada Shas in Meseches Nedarim, because you have to say that Rav Huna is rejected, and our Gemara is rejected. Maivila Arusa Shloshim Yom. What does it mean that for an arusa it's 30 days? Amrav Papa Achi Kamar. Bogeris Sha'avru Aleha Shneimasar Chodesh Bibagrus. So Bogeris has already been a Bogeris for 12 months. Viniskacha. If she's been a Bogeris for a year already, and then she has kiddushin, then also Shloshim Yom Kalmana. Then we only give her Shloshim Yom. Bogeris Yom Echad. We're going to give the full 12 months. But if she's a Bogeris for Shneimasar Chodesh, then we only give her Shloshim Yom. So Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll start with the sugya of why it is that an arusa is not allowed to eat truma.